There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, talkers. We've got a little present for you this Friday afternoon. We've got a little super show. We've got a surprise guest host in both chairs today. We've got a little... And we've got...
Hang on a sec. Let me get mad at you.
It's Matt Belanger.
Belanger. Who's got the better...
Is that it?
It's song.
Well, mine kind of goes on and on. So.
Don't listen. I do like yours.
It's kind of epic.
And
it's
it works.
Matt Belanger.
That's why.
It's Matt Belanger.
She still calls me Matt Baloney sometimes, Julia.
You know, here's a sign with Julia. It's a good sign she knows your name because a lot of times she goes, honey.
Yes.
Honey. And I go, you don't know that person's name.
Well, hi, everybody. Hi, Grant.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
That's good.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hi.
It's so fun to be here again. Yeah. They have mixed me and Matt together. They've scraped the bottom of the barrel.
They're playing with fire is what they're doing. The two of us together, it's like...
Last time we hosted together, it was probably, God, like a year ago, and I think they said, never again.
And here
and
we
they
are.
They were so desperate. Here we are.
Aren't the ladies are what, in L.A. or something, or going to L.A.? Or
yes, they're in L.A., and they're trying to sneak into the AARP Awards, is what their goal is.
They'll get right in. That's fine. Right over here, we have chairs for you.
Lori's never snuck in her life, and she's maybe, like, sauntered into something, so I cannot wait.
I think the Low J, they're... experts at just fake it till you make it.
Yes.
Like they can just walk with purpose. No one's going to stop them. They're a force.
I would never refuse Lori for anything.
They did crash a party. I know when they did their old days that when they would go to like the SAG Awards and all those things, there's a story that they've told in the past where they crashed a party. They walked right in and like they said, they owned it. They got in. And
Well, they're infamous for doing that even in the building and telling guests like on other shows, like, yo, you have to be make sure you're upstairs at ours at 3. Like, they
that's
are
totally
infamous
because
in this building.
They didn't
building.
Prep for the show.
Yeah. They so are, like... Literally, people in this building talk about, I was supposed to have this person, and they came and saw them, like, Julia walked by and said, oh, no, honey, 3:15, be upstairs in my talk studio. So, yeah, they...
That's honestly how I'm here. So, like, literally, she met me on the State Fair bus, and she was like, you're going to come on the show.
She steals people.
The rest is history.
Okay, so... You were telling me that you're a little bit hard up for money and...
Well, we'll make it. It'll be fine.
Okay, good. But you guys had a recent, brush with death in your family.
People, and I haven't been on the air since this happened, so it was about coming on 2 weeks ago, so we're on the tail end of this, no pun intended, but Fisher the Corgi almost died. I'll tell you the abbreviated story here. The big bill is the vet bill, and it's money well spent because he's only 3 and he's got many, many years to go. But he basically swallowed a piece of a toy. Happens all the time, right? But you know what that leads to if it gets stuck. Emergency surgery and a couple maybe nights in the emergency vet hospital. A huge shout out, folks, at Allied Emergency Vet Services in South Minneapolis. They were phenomenal. Took care of our baby. Yes. Incredible. Walked in there crying and they just took it from there and they were so kind and gracious. And so basically he got a toy. There's a company that sends boxes of toys out specifically for dogs that I won't name. And we ordered Fisher a birthday box. Got like a birthday present, little blue teal fluffy square with a yellow bow on top. If you have this at home, just heads up. In the middle of the bow, the knot of the bow wasn't like connected to the other strands, if you will. It was this little, I would say, silver dollar coin sized, flat-ish, soft felt wrapped thing.
Something that like they probably weren't intended to play with, but like, of course, as all things do when you rip things open, it falls somewhere. And how did you even know that there was an obstruction?
Well, there's the thing. And the thing that gets me and makes me mad, although, you know, the company's hands are clean because they say you have to watch your dog all the time with these toys. Okay, I get it. But reality is that doesn't always happen. We knew it was a problem when he was throwing up like way more than normal. Like dogs throw up, right? Like,
here's
the thing. It was like 10 or 12 times. In a single day, everything was coming back up and it was like a different color. I won't gross people out, but it's public service. You should know this so you can recognize this in your dog. And the thing that sent me to the car driving to the ER in the middle of the night was, he loves Kyle more than me. I'm just the other dog that lives in the house.
Yeah, like you're a pack member. Yeah, and yeah, Kyle's the leader.
The master, right? Yep. Well, anyway, that night I was the only one still awake, and he came and he like spooned me, which he never does. And then I felt his little back legs were shaking. His whole butt was just shaking, like vibrating like chills. And I said, I was like, Kyle, we gotta go. And anyway, they took care of us. He just had his staples out the other day on his belly.
Fisher's doing well.
He is barking and playing and running, and he is like back, baby. So we're very thankful for that.
I mean, okay, I have big dogs. Yeah, Grant's got a little of both. He's got big dogs and little dogs.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't worry as much, I feel like, as people do have to work with little dogs, but maybe I made that up. Maybe I'm like in my own, like
I don't either. With my dogs, the digestive tract of my big wolfhounds, they could take down a sock.
Yeah.
But like a lab puts in a sock, it could really, get caught in their intestines and really cause some problems.
You got to know your dog.
We've been dealing a lot with that, with Go-Go and all her toys and then the dog's toys. So it gets a little bit, I mean, we don't really do a lot of toys for our dogs because they're kind of like ball obsessed. That's the only thing they want to play with anyways.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Well, and it's scary. It's had a good outcome as best can be. I think that it's good for people to know. You got to be aware of this. And I'll tell you, this experience changed what we're doing at our house. Like, no more stuffed toys, no more squeaker toys at our place. We're going a different route. And we're going to watch them more closely. And B. Arthur, we were just talking before the show, she had a good point too. You really look at these toys, because if this thing was like for a baby or a kid, it like wouldn't even be allowed, because that piece is a choking hazard.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Of course, because it's of a dog, you know, the standards are different. So just be plugged in, be aware, and you know, we learned a valuable lesson.
Okay, I'm a little, you added anxiety to me in this. I feel anxious in general today. Today is my first time ever hiring a non like family, like having a babysitter,
like right now.
Oh. It's Emma, and then luckily, you know, I also have Josie, my next door neighbor, who's like the cul-de-sac cat who's always at our house. You know, she knows where everything's at.
I love that.
But Emma and Josie are watching Go-Go, and it was such an odd feeling because I'm always the babysitter. Like, this is my first time reverse. So I at first set out a box of mac and cheese, but then I was like, you know what? I'll just make it. Like, as like still like the babysitter, I was like, I'll just make it. And then I was like, we also have chicken strips. You know, I'll just make them. So next thing I know, Emma's like, I'm not even hungry. She's just amazing. She's one of the girls I, you know, went to nursing school with. She's like, I didn't even have to tell her to bring her CPR card. She came already certified, all the things. But like, it was just a weird feeling because I'm the baby. I'm usually the kid watcher. I'm normally the one who's like, do you have cable? You know, I didn't even tell her.
What about HBO?
I got her set up, you know, with my Wi-Fi, and I hope she got some homework. But like, it's an odd feeling to reverse the roles. Like, I'm the person who comes home late at night and they're sleeping on the couch. Like, that's such a weird mindset I'm having.
I'm sure she's going to be fabulous. She's probably listening.
I would hope so.
Thank you.
I mean, we need it. She's the only one who has the attention span. Hopefully, Go-Go.
No, that's Wob. So I'm sure you're going to be okay. But yeah, that role flip, the transition to the adulthood role.
Like, should I be wearing like a bra that costs more than $4? Like, am I an adult now? Like,
listen, you see what I'm wearing for today. And of course, the social media guru over here is like, let's take a picture. And here I am in my Costco sweatshirt. And enjoy that online, everybody.
I was pretty excited because I look pretty good today. All right.
You do look nice.
Grant,
do we have time, Grant, to get your update?
Well, most people have heard. Yeah, we got a little time here. Most people know I recently got engaged. And as for plans on where that's going, we are just enjoying the moment.
Good.
Right now.
I've got a lot of thoughts on that. We're going to talk about, too, like what that feels like when you hit that transition. And now every new transition's coming up. But we got a lot of that talk.
And we also have, sorry to interrupt, today we have one chance. You got one last chance, you guys, to win Madonna tickets. So, some point in time today, finish the line.
And like, me and Matt actually have to go somewhere, and don't ignore that if somebody calls in sounding like us, it's not us. But yeah, we have Madonna tickets some point in the show, and we're pushovers, all three of us. So like, it won't be hard to win these. And then we've got our story we can't get enough of, which is great because it has a TV tie-in. But we're going to need a good input. So we'll be back here on Low J with Sans Low J.
Lori and Julia here with Ann Tressler of Tressler Law. Now, Ann, we've heard that January has one of the highest rates for divorce filings than any other month of the year. And I'm wondering, is this because of the holidays, because of the new year starting? What's the deal?
I think it really is affected by the holidays. I think a lot of people who are at a difficult point in their life try to maintain status quo for the sake of the children and the family during the holidays. They get through it and they kind of say, this is kind of my last straw. I need to move on. And again, you have your New Year's resolutions. And it's the idea that now I can make those changes I need to and make a fresh start in my life.
And if some of our people listening are thinking about divorce, what should their next steps be?
Well, I really encourage people to start educating themselves. Start really gathering information and knowledge of their financial circumstances. A lot of people rely on the spouse to take care of it. Start educating yourself on that to be prepared. It'll also be more cost effective during the divorce proceeding.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1 hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
It's everywhere, you guys.
It is.
Okay, side note, I'm Brittany. This is Matt. We got Grant. We got all the homework, you know, whatever. Okay.
Done.
Lojay's not here. They're fine. They're great. They're living their best life in LA. They might be sneaking into a party. We'll try to get the info. Don't worry. We'll keep you in the know. But the big story today that we can't get enough.
Yes. Escandalo.
We might have the season finale of this, you guys.
That's like, is that Lori's Spanglish for scandal?
Yes, for scandal.
Escandalo. Yes. Is that the real word for scandal?
You guys, there's going to be so much more to this. Like, this is season one morning show.
Yeah.
We're going to find out because, like, okay, what you need to know right now at this moment is that it's done. TJ Holmes and Amy Roebuck, they are cut. They are done. ABC said, nope, we kind of hedged this out. We looked into this. We are not allowing you guys to continue working here. And I know you're thinking, like, well, what was the exact thing?
Yes.
And what it comes down to is that a lot of the things that was, I want to say on the, not illegal side, but policy breaking side, was making their coworkers feel uncomfortable.
Right. Now listen, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't know how long ago, but I was visiting on a different show on this fabulous station in the mornings, the later mornings, Don and Steve. And I talked, look, every TV person has a contract that in there has the, and I think Lori's talked about this, there's a moral clause in there.
Okay.
It's like a moral turpitude clause or whatever. And it's written very broadly and it protects the employer way more than the employee.
Absolutely.
And it says if you do something that can be viewed by the public in any way that shines a negative light on the company, you're done. And, you know, very rarely is that clause enforced unless you do something, you know, really terrible. Mm-hmm. But it is written usually very broadly in a way that, you know, it doesn't say it has to be criminal. It just has to be something that the public determines to be, you know, as immoral in some way, which is like incredibly mind-blowingly broad.
Yeah.
But clearly this kind of fits into that category. And I think what you're talking about, it making people uncomfortable, that's going down, you know, the sexual harassment avenue.
So yeah, it's wild. I got to highlight some of this. So what we're talking about, they said that they was making some staffers feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Not only on top of that, they were talking about throughout the investigation, the couple did not shy away from packing on the PDA and notably making out like teenagers.
Well, there were pictures
during a Miami getaway over the holidays.
Yes, they were caught in the Atlanta airport holding hands. I mean, there's not one bit of remorse or just like, hey, let's just step back a minute. They just went full
fledged.
Yeah, they doubled down.
Well, and then on top of it, we talked about this as well. The idea that you know, Amy might be kept and TJ might be kicked out because he actually has, I would say, serial affairs
behavior
that he's had with coworkers at ABC, including a younger coworker as well.
There was allegations that he had a relationship prior to this one with a employee 13 years his younger.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was the intern or a producer at the time, but there's that. There's been about two to three allegations all that have come out that there are other women outside of this affair that were going on prior to this. So he has some alleged serial behavior.
And so we talk about it too, right? So it's very interesting. I don't know if radio has that clause, moral clause, otherwise we'd all be kicked out because
no.
You know, I've been begging Grant for a date since I met him.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
It's just awkward.
I mean, I may have low-key tapped Grant on the head today and said, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, we...
But you are wonderful. Thank you, by the way.
So, like, TV, that could get you fired. Radio, we're like, yes. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about the power dynamic of who you're dating, right? Like, these are two hosts. And so I think a big thing
they're equals.
Like, and I think a big thing that ABC might have been doing as well is they were waiting on public opinion. I think that there was a big part of them that they said, all right, this came to light. You know, everything has to do with ratings. So I think there was a point where they go, listen, it's kind of like the Brad and Jelena of it all. Brad and Angelina... There was an obvious affair, but everybody found them so hot, like hot together. TJ and Amy are hot together.
Yep.
And they really leaned into it after they found out. They were like taking pictures. They had the whole pose paparazzi stuff. And they were saying, I think that we are too hot to get kicked out of this. I think that we are going to be something that people go to. And I found myself wanting to know clips. I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
And like, there were some awkward moments where like one of the other, people asked what Amy was doing for the weekend. Mm. And it was like an awkward, like, well, he's right here.
So you're pro.
Yeah, that joke.
You're pro Amy and TJ. Like, you like are rooting for him in a way. Like, I mean, maybe not the fact that they did the infidelity and all this. But are you in the public opinion buckets of that? Yeah. They look great together. Go down.
I have to always say that the lens that I see it through is I've never been cheated on that I know of. And so I have not that like hangover feeling that when I see that, I go, ugh.
The trigger, right. Yeah.
But I know people that feel that way when they see them and I go, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm anti them. I don't think I'm pro them, but I would watch them make out because they are very attractive people.
I think there's a difference between Hollywood and TV news anchor people. So, yes, they are celebrities in their own right.
Yes.
But, you know, they're not Brad and Lena. They're news people whose currency is credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because they're the people who you're going to watch telling you about, you know, these really serious events. And I think one of the things that ABC had to process through is, at the end of the day, hotness aside, they need to be credible to be on the network.
Yep.
And that was shortchanged here. Now, I just interestingly read here that they're getting payouts.
I was going to say.
They're fired and kicked out on the street.
No. Exactly.
There's some cash money involved here.
They're going to do just fine out of this. They'll rebound in another
anchor position.
They're going
to pop up on another network.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're probably going to make more from this departure.
Write a book.
Would.
Well, they're going to land somewhere too, you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Right now, they're this hot couple. And like the thing is, are they going to stay together? Are they not? All that I want to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not a morning television watcher. I'm not even like a network. I won't watch anything that's not like.
You said you woke up after I texted you this morning saying I was going to bed and take a nap. So you missed my show this morning.
But like, we have a bottle at 5 a.m. We party till 6. We go back to bed.
Amen.
That's us living our best lives.
I can high five you if I can reach you. Yeah,
thank you.
Problem.
But I'm telling you, I found myself going to watch these clips because I found that interesting. But you're right. Is that going to affect, would people have them in their household? Do they want to feel like I can trust you? And then on top of it, if you had somebody cheated on you or you had somebody, you know, where that infidelity came into play, that affects your opinion on this person to a level that like I can't relate to, but there's other things
we
I can.
We have to look at the other people involved in this and how they were hurt.
Yeah,
you know, they hurt a lot of other people. This is a juicy story in itself, but they hurt their family.
But does that come into play at work? And that's like the big question.
Yeah. Legal
if
fight
continues,
man. If
I cheat on my husband, can I still come to work? You know, like.
You're right.
That's scandalous.
It's
scandalous.
We'll let other people figure it out. But yeah, we got a lot of great stories coming up and a quiz. Are you a talkaholic? Coming up next.
Lori and Julia here. We know it's January, and if you're like us, you might want to look at brightening things up. And at Chanhassen Dinner Theater, there's a great choice. There's literally something for everyone. Coming to the main stage on February 10th is the Tony Award-winning musical comedy, The Prom.
And Chanhassen does the big splashy shows so well. And this is a brand new one, fresh off Broadway. Chris Hewitt saw this on Broadway in March of 2019. And he said, this is the most fun. He said,
oh, I can't
it's
wait.
Wonderful. It's based on a true story. It's contemporary. It's super funny. Great music, great dancing. And it's also a very touching story of acceptance and kindness.
The Prom. We're going to be at opening night. I can't wait. Love Letters with Don Shelby and Nancy Nelson. They're back for 8 shows in February. Go. They're wonderful. And also, they have great tribute concerts. Alabama,
yes,
Dave Matthews Band, and Stevie Ray Comedies every weekend. For tickets, visit ChanhassenDT.com.
Bradley here with my friend.
Oh, yeah, like we are mom and dad. I'm obviously dad. Your mom. Brittany here and Matt Belanger.
Let's go, girls.
Dun, 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 dun. Not jelly. I want to be mom.
Mommy's going to go have a white wine spritzer. Y'all can handle this next segment,
see?
Right?
You're like the, like, ever you can get away with. You're the cool mom. I'm not like those other moms.
Oh, God, no, is that Mean Girls?
He's a cool mom.
And then the little chihuahua was chewing on, you know, her unmentionable part. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
You're here with Matt Belanger and Brittany Arneson and Grant. I'm always nervous to say your last name.
Wank Stern.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real, is it?
Yeah, Wank Stern. Wank Stern.
I'm not even laughing at it. I just have trouble saying it because I always want to say Wanker Stern.
I've never heard.
Yeah, everybody wants to add the ER.
Why?
I've never heard
the
name
before.
I don't know. It's just Wank Stern.
I think it's cool.
You're like, in my phone as Grant, my talk.
I love it.
Same.
I think it's Brittany. Actually, you're Brittany from your old call numbers. Is
how dare you?
I put you in there as.
I've cut ties. They know what they did. Just kidding.
And you've landed on your feet, baby.
Have I, though?
Yes, you have.
I'm on this Friday show. I could be hanging out. Okay. Ouch.
She's like, I'm hanging out with you two losers.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Listen, I brought a quiz.
I know. I was going to say, the only thing we're never going to get to it because we already know the answers. Are you a talkaholic?
I thought this would be fun because we, like, again, they barely let us host together because
ever.
It's like, blah, 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 blah. And then I thought this would be fun for people to listen and play along in their heads, maybe while they're driving around or whatever.
Yes.
Are you a talkaholic? So I have this quiz. It's from Time Magazine.
But you also have to be super self-aware to answer these, and I worry that I am not all
well,
the
this
time.
Is why it gets fun. So we're gonna run down a couple of questions. They're quick and easy.
Love
and
it.
And be honest with yourself,
mm-hmm.
and do the first gut reaction, not how you justify it in your brain. Okay.
Got it.
And so the scale is 1 to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1 is disagree, 5 is agree with the statement. Okay?
Got it.
Here we go. Number 1. Often I keep quiet when I know I should talk. Do you disagree with that or do you agree? And which one, where do you fall? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Never.
Often I keep quiet when I know I should talk. So you're a 1, Brittany, because you
one.
Are disagreeing.
I'm 1,000% a 1.
All right, so everybody keep going. All right.
If there's any silence in the room, I have to fill it with
me
every...
Too. Me too.
Yeah. Awkward singing, whatever. Okay. Number 2, I think there's like 12 or something of these, so we got to go. Number 2, I talk more than I should sometimes. Agree or disagree? 1 through 5. 5 is agree. I think you're a 5, Brittany.
I put 5? Okay. Oh my God.
All right.
Questions.
Okay, so I think you get the scale, so we're going to fly through the rest
of
them
here.
I
feel attacked.
Often I talk when I should. Now, they're repetitive on purpose because you're supposed to, like,
fall,
you know,
it.
They're trying to catch you and really get to the bottom.
My husband worked for Myers-Briggs.
Oh,
I got
yeah.
It.
This is like one of those. Go. This one is phrased as, often I talk when I should keep quiet. Okay.
I gave myself a 4.
All right.
Not going full 5.
Hide your answers from here on out. Blah, blah, blah. Number 4. Sometimes I keep quiet when I know it would be to my advantage to talk.
Never.
And think about situations where, you know, like
fine,
where this could...
Fine, a 2.
No.
Fine.
Stop justifying. Just the first one that comes
right,
in.
Right.
You said never.
Okay,
you said
fine.
Never.
1, 1, 1.
5 is straight up. I am a talkaholic. Agree, disagree. 1 through 5.
I am disagree, not self-aware to put a 5 on that.
Okay. Sometimes I feel compelled to keep quiet. No, but no, okay.
Now, this is an instance.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In general, I talk more than I should.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm a compulsive talker. Can you not control it? Are you a compulsive talker?
Yes.
I am not a talker. Rarely do I talk in communication situations. We all know people like that. My partner Kyle's like that.
I do feel like he was.
He's an introvert.
I did attack him though. I have this really bad disease that if I want people who I really like to also have kids, like I've done it to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't care if you get married, either of you.
Yeah.
Please have kids. I need fun. I need fun other parents.
So like I attacked we're gonna get, I think.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Literally, I attacked him. I said, "Listen, because you've shown me weaknesses that you might want to have." So like I attacked him, and he was just like. Terrified.
The Hubbard Christmas party is Kyle's worst nightmare as an introvert. He's like, I'll go, but we got like there. He expired at like a particular time. The clock struck like 9,
and he's like, their own little side table to just chill.
He was like Cinderella running for the pumpkin carriage, like it was gonna change. He's like, I gotta get out of here. Anyway, number 10. Quite a few people have said I talk too much. Agree with that or disagree? Disagree is 1, agree is 5. I just can't stop talking too much. 1 to 5. Which one are you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In general, I talk less than I should. And only 4 more to go, okay? I am not a talkaholic. Do you disagree or agree with that? Disagree is 1, agree is 5. You can do, variety. 3 is undecided if you're in the middle. Sometimes I talk when it would be to my advantage to keep quiet. It just flips them all around, you know?
Yeah.
But we all know those situations. 2 more. I talk less than I should sometimes. And the last one is a little like reversal from earlier. I am not a compulsive talker. Do you agree or disagree with that? You are not a compulsive talker.
Give me 11. Sorry.
Okay. So.
Give me number 11.
Oh, you skipped. You missed 11?
No. Okay. Wait, I'll just put a 3.
And 11. You need to go back?
No.
Okay. People are driving and they're still following along.
I just said 11.
Okay. 11 is I just can't stop talking too much.
Okay, I'm putting 3.
That's because that's where you don't know where you are in that one. Okay, because that's probably we did have that little interlude about the holiday party. Okay, you two add up your scores.
Oh my God, never.
Mine is a 36 out of 50. And I will tell you, and you guys can figure out where you fall and so you add up all the numbers. Ugh. I'm a 36 out of 50 when I took this. And people who score between 30 and 39, so I'm right in there, 36 out of 50, we're borderline talkaholics. And can control our talking most of the time, but sometimes we can't stop. And like, we're thinking, even like, if you're in the middle of it and you're thinking, gosh, I really should not be having this conversation with this person, but you just can't stop it. It just keeps going. Juicy gossip or whatever it might be. Many of us have been in that situation. So that's where
good.
I fall. So where are you?
I'm a 44.
You are a talkaholic. It is confirmed. I think we knew that going in, but it's good to
Grant's
know.
Oh, no, Grant's face looks rough.
47 over here.
What?
You got there. The people in the white coats are coming for you, Grant.
Yeah, I am a
certifiable talkaholic.
I have known to talk way too much. Even though I sit in this chair and I don't talk as much as I do on, like, outside of this studio, if you guys heard me, you'd be like, shut up.
I do have to confirm that one time Grant and I were talking last week.
Yeah. We were.
And I was like, we were on the phone, and at one point I said to my husband, it's time to change the guard. This 2-minute call is now 30 minutes. Take this child from me.
It was like,
and Grant goes, I'm so sorry. I go, no.
You got time
away. Listen, he had this child too. Like, but it was just so funny where I was like, I thought it was like a 2-minute answer. So I was like holding her.
Yeah.
And she's heavy.
Yeah. There was a point in time in that conversation where it did get quiet because the baby left. And I was like, and then I apologized. And I looked at my phone. I'm like, wow, that was a 2-minute conversation that turned into almost 40. And I appreciated that conversation.
It was, no, it's fine. I'm bad at the exit. I think that's the problem.
I am so bad
at the exit because like I love listening to everyone's everythings. And so like, even when I came here, I barely had any work done, and I should have known that I wasn't going to get any work done here.
What's your astrological sign?
Gemini.
Me too, and I'm a Gemini. There's 4 hosts today between the two of us.
There's 5, because we rely on Grant a lot.
Well, that's true. I mean, he's basically the glue. What are you, astrologically?
I'm a Libra.
Oh, yeah, and we love Libras. Geminis and Libras are like, woo, we're having a little party. Okay, I will say one thing before we take a break is that I have learned... Because I was probably a higher score years and years ago. But I have learned through my job that sometimes one of the best questions in an interview, you know, like a news interview, is to just stop talking. Because like you, a lot of people who you're interviewing want to fill the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so you ask the question and then you just stop.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they say really good stuff when you don't offer to fill the air for them.
I've also learned another big thing is I want to fill in people's end of sentences. And I'm realizing, especially being around kids as much as I am, is that you have to leave space for them to fill in the feeling. Yeah. I find myself, like, if I'm hanging out with my ride or die Josie next door, if she's like, I just feel like a mad, frustrated, sad. Like, I want to.
You're like a Mad Libs.
Exactly. I want to, like, and reality of it is, like, she could just agree with one of those and she doesn't find exactly the word that fits. And so I've been trying to give that space as, like, a. It's okay if there's a pause. Like, we are all comfortable around each other, and you have to sometimes let them find that word.
Yeah. My biggest struggle, and this is an honest, like, open thing. Sometimes I'm, and it's other people have this too, but, like, you focus so much on what you want to say next that you don't focus on the current conversation. You don't listen. And that is something I have learned to do a lot better. But when I was younger, I was always thinking about what I wanted to talk about next and not giving my true attention to the person I was speaking with. Mm-hmm. And that is something I found that really helped me out.
You guys, I think we just saved a bunch of money on therapy.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
This is great. And hopefully, listeners too, hopefully you're getting something out of this. Look at my talk.
Grant, will you just not listen? Or not Grant. Matt, will you not listen for a second?
Yeah.
I don't feel like he was honest on his quiz.
Thank you. When you said 36 and I got 47, Maddie, I have to come check your answer.
I took it in the newsroom this morning because I knew I was going to do this. And
no.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were listening.
I'm borderline.
Let's give him our own.
Borderline.
What would you think his number would be?
A 45.
I was going to say 41 to 45.
I would mean really
just
nice
like
with a 45 as well.
45.
Like,
45. 45. So, okay.
All right. Maybe we can work on some honesty. We're going to be talking next with your review of a movie that everybody's seen but you.
Wait. Everyone has seen but me? What are you talking about?
I mean, like, the whole world has seen this movie, and you finally watched
big
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I don't know why I was so late to this party, but I think it was like the...
Either way, your review is up next, and we're going to work on some honesty here. My Talk 107.1.
Ouch.
Hey, everybody. It's Lori and Julia here for First Equity Mortgage. David, his team, they're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But I kind of think, you know, I remember getting my first mortgage and how I didn't know anything about it. And I had all these questions.
And why would you? How could
right.
you?
Right. And I had all these questions. I'm thinking of our kids because I feel like it's a second generation now of My Talk listeners that are working with David and his team because my kids are, you know, and how you just know nothing. And I never felt intimidated. You never feel intimidated or dumb asking any question because literally, how are you supposed to know? And they are there to educate you, make sure that you know, the pros and cons of all these different options, and really spend time it takes with you to make sure you are in the perfect mortgage at the perfect time for you. And helping you get there if you've got some dings on your credit score or something like that, they're really wonderful to work with, and they'll be your partner. And that's why we absolutely love working with First Equity. Keyword David at MyTalk.
That's Rosa Lynn with Snap.
Let's get comfortable in the silence, folks. Never mind. Let's keep talking.
It was all of 2 seconds. I lived in it. I was fine with it. I was like, we are going to get in trouble for not talking on a radio show.
B. Arthur's going to bust in here. No dead air! Anyway, we got TV to talk about.
You were telling me about... Okay, there's this big movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes. I can't believe it took me so long to watch it, but we finally watched it, and I'm glad, and I didn't necessarily watch it because of the Oscar buzz. I think we watched
it. No, you're a bandwagon. You jumped on the bandwagon.
It came up in the recommended, finally, on our TV.
Where did you watch it on?
I don't remember. Kyle controls the remote. It's a thing.
Because you didn't pay to watch
play.
It.
No, it was free on one of the many non-free streaming services. So yeah, we'll let folks know which movie service thing. It might have been Apple TV Plus. I don't know. But we did watch it. We did not pay to watch it, but it's good.
You can watch it on Paramount, Showtime, or Hulu.
We have Showtime, and we also have Hulu. So
you,
there you go.
Watch it in all three.
Yeah, just binge it. It's good. If you haven't seen it, it's a slow start that really ramps up and takes you to places you never expected. And I think I liked that. Okay. It really kind of makes you think about... Did you see it?
So I have a very interesting... Not very interesting. I have a sordid past with this movie.
Oh.
So... It is National Pumping Day, by the way. Happy National Pumping Day. I was breast pumping when I started watching it. And the thing about breast pumping is a lot of people get anxious when you do it. I don't know why. It's like a hormonal thing. It like kicks in this weird thing.
Oh.
My anxiety would not let me watch the rest of this movie.
I could see that.
It gave me too much anxiety about decisions that need to be made and the effect they have on people. I had this newborn. And my postpartum anxiety said...
No.
So I've only watched half of it, and I want to at some point look into watching the rest, because it's so good. The concept is so good. It's, you know, all these different worlds that can change from any decision you make. All the mundane decisions are all like the big ones.
Parallel, kind of think parallel universe situation where, what if I made this decision, or I kind of became this person in life, and this person, the star of the movie, is able to kind of flash and channel between these universes and kind of become these different versions of herself in any moment in time. And it's kind of sci-fi, not going to lie. And it's not usually my genre, but it held my attention.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. And the thing that I also kind of loved about it, that was a secondary headline, is the humor. I love the artful way that the humor was executed. It really is funny in this kind of tongue-in-cheek, dry pop of humor way, in this otherwise kind of serious-ish movie, but still sci-fi, you know what I mean?
You know who does that really well is Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, they have these high stakes, anxiety, and then they put in a little joke to kind of break it up.
Yes.
The Iron Man effect of things.
Yes.
The Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. sarcasm. Yes. I was actually just talking about this with someone, that they need to rebuild those characters with this. Yeah,
I think it might win big, and with all the nominations and everything. I think it might win big. Yeah.
Did you see Elvis?
No, but I really want to.
It's just that's on HBO.
Yeah,
maybe watch that tonight.
Did you see Moulin Rouge?
Back in the day?
Yeah.
Like, there's not like a redo or something that we missed, right? No, yeah, of course you do. I will love you to my dying day. Okay.
It has that
feel to it.
It's got that chaotic feel.
The Elvis does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I didn't see that coming, because I was like, I'm going to watch this just because, like, it's on HBO and I really wanted to see it. It's got that exact kind of feel to it. And you're going to...
I liked Moulin Rouge.
Constant moving.
Constant.
That's what I'm saying. I think if you like Moulin Rouge, you'll like Elvis, and you should definitely watch it.
I loved Elvis. I was hoping when I first watched it, I'd get a little bit more of Walk the Line, where I would get the in-depth life. But we got this really fast track, you know, life, you know, through Elvis. Mm. And somebody described it, a local critic here said, it was kind of like being in a tumble washing machine at times, because you felt like you were with Elvis. Yeah. It was this really long music video where there was not a lot of sit down dialogue in depth, but it was a great ride. Like, I loved the movie. I just wish it was a little bit more like a...
Yeah, you want the mundane in and out kind of, like,
I wanted to hear the struggle.
The context, context. Yes, and Walk the Line was good too. You're right. Shout out for that. Anyway, Elvis. Okay, it's on my list. It's on my list. I'm frustrated about a show.
What's that?
Yeah.
Okay. And have you... Spoiler alert, people. Spoiler alert. We're going to talk about Dead to Me, okay?
It's been long enough.
Well, I know, but some people... Who was I talking to? Somebody was just...
Listen, I'm going to be honest, you guys. I just finished White Lotus Season 2.
See, everyone's on their own timeline.
Yep.
Who have really dropped the ball. And if you're trying to, like, share a show with somebody and you guys are crazy busy, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. We don't do that anymore. We don't even have
You've
time.
Given up.
It's
given
so
up.
Hard to like find time to
Once
sit
you got
down
engaged,
again.
You said, we're done. We're on our own paths.
Television Hunger Games. This is whatever.
Exactly. Okay, so
Dead to Me.
How many
I finished
seasons
it.
Were there?
Three. And this is it. Because Christina Applegate is sick. She's dealing with MS, of course. And so, Donna Valentine encouraged me to catch up on this. And I finally did it and binged it. And, I love the show, and you can definitely tell. I don't know that I would have known this unless DV pointed it out to me, but she is seated in a lot of the scenes. Like, they did it artfully, but she needed to be resting and seated in a lot. So I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel for her. Gosh. But the ending, because you know there's not going to be a season four, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's not really the feel-good show. I've only seen season one, but I can't imagine they
were going to
have...
It's another anxiety show, you know?
I can't imagine that they were going to do something like loose ends, pretty ending.
No.
It's a dark show.
Yeah, but it really ends with this moment where you're like, wait, what? What? So basically she turns to Ben and is like, her character turns to Ben and is like, hey, I have to tell you something. And then it just ends. And I mean.
Oh, so it's Soprano-esque.
Yeah, is she going to tell him that she killed his brother? Or is she going to make another thing up like she's done
a million times
over the course of the movie? I mean, because it looks like they're headed toward happy ending, and then we like soon all of a sudden the bus is up on two wheels, and then it's done, and we're never going to know if the bus crashes.
Here's the three things endings like shows like this. I mean, this I wouldn't fall in like the epic category, but a lot of really epic shows fall in like the three categories. You either love the ending; it was everything. It was happy. It was the way that you wanted it to. These either the second ending, like Game of Thrones, where you go, I don't like that ending because that's not what I wanted to happen. And then there's the third, which I think is the most frustrating, is you don't know.
That's where we are.
The worst. Yep.
And that's where you get like the Sopranos. I think Seinfeld probably fell in the second realm of they people just didn't want it to end like that. And so it goes, what do you think is, you know, do you want the satisfying where you know things or... I don't know which one's worse.
I feel like it's a cop out. I wish they would have just landed the plane. Make it do, you know,
whatever they want.
Find a conclusion, but don't not have a conclusion. I hate that. It's up there in the bad endings category with like, oh, it was all just a dream.
I hate
like
that.
That's stupid. All right, don't
like
ever do that again.
The Donna and Steve movie. Just kidding. I mean, it is theirs, but like, you know, it's anyway. it's a little bit. I would say a cop out, but I don't know. Ever since the game, and I read the Game of Thrones books, and so that trajectory made sense in the Game of Thrones book to get her to a point of that angry. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like if you haven't seen Game of Thrones and at this point, what are you doing with your life? Look in the mirror.
I haven't seen them.
Neither have
I. You would love them.
Is that Grant, where the lady's like, shame?
Grant.
Shame. Yeah, no. I've tried the seasons. I've tried to watch it three times. I've watched the first three seasons three times. It's just not my, and I'm a sci-fi,
whole world is so intriguing, and they have so many, like, interests.
I never went down the road.
I'm shooketh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say a lot of people were pretty angry about that one, and then you go, so should it have been a more open-ended one, like this dead to me, but I have never heard such anger about a TV show.
Yeah, people are mad about this one.
Game of Thrones and, like you said, Sopranos.
That killed people.
That one hurt people.
That was one of those ones where I was like,
that hurt me.
People were wrecked.
Yeah.
All right. Got a lot coming up in our next hour.
We do, and you guys, we still have the Madonna tickets to give away at some point in the show, so keep listening to Lojay, sans Lojay.